There is a pervasive practice everywhere in the institutions that are custodians of our finances and that we are supposed to trust. It's hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is everywhere. Today's episode, therefore, is one where I am going to bash banks. Banks everywhere. But the bashing is not going to stop there. In the following three episodes, I am going to first bash insurance companies, then bash accountants and lawyers, and then bash rating agencies. Don't believe anything you hear or read from these policemen of the financial world. They are all letting us down, and it's really extremely hard to find an exception to my statement. And I'm going to try and make it clear why I say that. I am going to climate shame banks, insurance companies, accountants, lawyers, and rating agencies. And here is the dramatic conclusion. The world of the Bitcoin evangelists, sometimes, I think, cannot come too soon so that we can get rid of the lot. Welcome to episode 44 of The Angry Clean Energy Guy with me, Asad Razouk. I am so happy you're here. Thank you. Let's start with definitions first. What does it mean to be aligned with the Paris Climate Agreement? Everybody pretends to be aligned with the Paris Climate Agreement, but what does that in fact mean? It means two really simple things. The first one is that we have already banked 2 degrees centigrade warming over the pre-industrialization time from emissions, from the coal, the oil, and the gas that's already in production. So we've already banked the 2 degrees centigrade warming. So the first thing being aligned with the Paris Climate Agreement means is zero expansion of fossil fuels extraction or expansion of the infrastructure that drives more extraction. That's zero new oil, gas, and coal. And the second thing being aligned with the Paris Climate Agreement means is that we must cut emissions by 50% by 2030, which is just 9 years from now, then to zero by 2050, to have even a 50% chance of limiting global warming to 2 degrees. And that's without relying on wishful thinking about carbon capture technology, which doesn't work, or other magic solutions that we are sometimes pushed to think that will come and save us. So being aligned with the Paris Climate Agreement means no new oil, gas, and coal, and emissions cut by 50% by 2030. Pretty simple, right? However, when you then look at what's actually going on in the banking sector, what you see is that while everyone is fully aware of what it means to be aligned with the Paris Climate Agreement, pretty much everyone is fully ignoring it. Before I go on to dispel some myth, let me just digress for a moment and let's look at what the banks actually say to us when we read about their stance on climate and the environment. Bank of America, for example, one of the largest banks in the world, says it takes an active public policy stance on local, national, and global climate change issues, advocating for a stable and predictable regulatory environment with a goal to advance clean energy and a low-carbon economy. JP Morgan has a page called Our Paris Aligned Financing Commitment. And they say that they have adopted a financing commitment that is aligned to the goals of the Paris Agreement, which, as you may remember, I just explained what that means. Citibank says it's going to spend an enormous amount of money on environmental finance, and its climate risk analysis is expected to deepen alongside client engagement. ING goes out and says climate change is one of the biggest challenges of our time. A transition is needed. And as a financial institution, they can play a role by financing change. Barclays says their ambition is to be a net zero bank by 2050. Looks great, doesn't it? And on and on and on. Every single bank basically is broadcasting guff, pretty much exactly like what I've read. But now, let's talk about what they're actually doing. Don't get fooled by banks and their pronouncements. Even the so-called progressive ones are hiding behind announcement that they have or that they will exit coal. But in reality, the data doesn't lie. 35 global private sector banks have financed fossil fuels with $2.7 trillion since the Paris Climate Agreement in 2015. That's $2.7 trillion in just the 5 years. All of it going to goals that are pretty much exactly contrary to what it means to be aligned with the Paris Climate Agreement. Worse, bank financing for fossil fuels has gone up each year since the Paris Agreement. And if you look at the rate of growth, it may very well reach $1 trillion per year by 2030, instead of zero, of course. And that's if you look at how much the top 35 private sector banks worldwide have backed 2,100 fossil fuel companies by. These banks, American, European, Japanese, Chinese, and Canadian, have really excelled themselves at doing exactly what they're not supposed to and what they pretend they're not doing. Now, the biggest fossil bank over that time, by far, was JP Morgan Chase. And the American banks really have just excelled, because right after JP Morgan, you had its US peers, Wells Fargo, Citibank, and Bank of America. In Canada, RBC was the worst, MUFG was the worst in Japan, Barclays was the worst in Europe, and Bank of China was the worst in China. And the point here is that it's not enough to pretend that you are stopping the financing of coal. What needs to stop is the financing of any new fossil fuels. That must be the starting point. Instead, what the banks have actually successfully done is they have, by and large, created a perception with the public that they are progressive and they are on the right side of history. Every year, many NGOs publish detailed data of what the banks have been doing and how they've been massively misbehaving. And the data doesn't lie. Here is the top 12, the dirty dozen. JP Morgan Chase in number one, Wells Fargo in number two, Citi in number three, Bank of America is number four, RBC in Canada is number five, MUFG in Japan is number six, then Barclays, number seven, TD out of Canada is eight, Mizuho out of Japan is nine, Scotiabank out of Canada is 10, Morgan Stanley is at 11, and HSBC bring up the rear and is the 12th largest finance backer of fossil fuels globally. And it's very hard to find really anyone who is respectable on this topic. So if you just look at European banks who are doing better than their peers in terms of backing our move away from fossil fuels, well, by and large, they are still doing pretty horribly. I mean, for example, Société Générale actually increased its annual financing for every fossil fuel sector, and especially for fracking. It's the top European banker for LNG as well. Despite several policies restricting unconventional oil and gas finance, BNP is France's worst banker of fossil fuels. So there's the French banks not doing extremely well. Barclays and HSBC are the top two European banks financing fossil fuels. Credit Suisse is number four, Deutsche number five, Société Générale, Crédit Agricole, ING, UBS, Natixis, Santander, Standard Chartered, UniCredit, BBVA, they're all there. They are all giving away money to new oil, gas, and coal, and they are all completely familiar with what it means to be aligned with the Paris Agreement. And they must do so much better. But I can't emphasize enough how terrible and horrible JP Morgan Chase in particular has been. In the 4 years since the Paris Agreement, JP Morgan Chase every year has been the number one banker of fossil fuels, and by a large margin. They have backed oil, gas, and coal with $270 billion in total, and they were the worst in the world each year, in 2016, in 2017, in 2018, and in 2019. I mean, what they do is unbelievable. They have Arctic policies, for example, and they have coal policies as well, JP Morgan do. But they still fund companies actively expanding Arctic drilling and coal plants. I can't explain that. They can't explain that either. It's just greed gone mad. If you then go and score the policies of the top 35 private sector banks in the world in terms of what they say regarding ending financing for fossil fuel expansion and phasing out overall fossil fuel financing. So if you go out and you actually grade them, Citibank, ANZ, Deutsche, Barclays, HSBC, JP Morgan Chase, Commonwealth Bank, Santander, NAB, Goldman Sachs, UBS, Standard Chartered, Commerce Bank, BBVA, all get either an F or a D. Even the so-called progressive banks, Natixis, ING, Société Générale, BNP Paribas, UniCredit, RBS, and Crédit Agricole, which is the most progressive of all, even all these don't even score better than a C. Not even a C+, a C. So you've got the top 35 private sector banks in the world, all of them with failing scores on climate, yet all of them pretending that they are helping fight climate change. And then you've got those that score literally zero. The Chinese bank, Scotiabank out of Canada, CIBC out of Canada, Bank of Montreal out of Canada, the big Japanese banks, Morgan Stanley, Credit Suisse, as well as Westpac, DBS, and Wells Fargo. When you look at what the banks are doing, it's not enough to read about what they are pretend doing about coal. You have to look through those statements and to their actions across. So you have to look at tar sands oil, for example, as a standalone subsector, and then check what the banks are doing there. Tar sands, for example, are famously dirty oil reserves. They're the dirtiest in the world. In addition, the resource-intensive extraction and transportation of that oil then destroys the climate, ecosystems, and local communities, probably the most of any oil other than perhaps Arctic oil. Yet, JP Morgan Chase, RBC, and TD Bank enthusiastically back that type of extraction. And that's just the top three backers of tar sands oil. But everybody else is also at it, with almost no exceptions. Then, if you look at Arctic oil and gas, so that's destroying the Arctic in order to try and find oil and gas, well, then the top prize for those who fund the most destruction goes to JP Morgan Chase, Citibank, and Deutsche Bank. But once again, everybody else is also at it. And I mean everybody, even the so-called progressive banks. Then if you look at another type of oil and gas, which is just offshore oil and gas, so who's specifically financing the extraction of oil from offshore platforms? The top three banks enthusiastically backing offshore oil and gas are two American ones, JP Morgan Chase and Citi, as well as BNP Paribas. You know, once again, an inconsistency between what they say and what they do. And guess what? Out of the other 35, pretty much all of them are also at it. Then if you look at oil and gas from another subsector, which is fracking, what you see is that amazingly, big banks have actually increased their support for fracking since the Paris Agreement. Of course, they should have done exactly the opposite. But no, why should they? They've increased their support for fracking and really made the whole thing worse for all of us. And the worst are JP Morgan, who's the world's number one funder of fracking, Barclays, who's the number one out of Europe, and MUFG, who's the number one out of Asia. And once again, everybody else is pretty much at it. And don't get me started about LNG. Morgan Stanley is the world's number one funder of LNG. SMBC Group is Asia's number one funder. Societe Generale is Europe's number one funder. And everyone else is also at it. But that's also a fossil fuel. And we can't afford any new LNG either. And don't get me even started on coal. Okay? But basically, they are still backing coal mining, and they are still backing coal power. And the way they do it is insidious. They might not be doing it directly, but they are still helping, for example, coal companies buy and sell their coal plants. They're still advising them. They are still trying to get them funding, perhaps not from their own pocket, but from somebody else. And that type of behavior is everywhere in this space. Fossil fuels and banks are joined at the hip. And what we need is really a wholesale change. Here is what you need to keep in mind in a simple formula. Banks equal bad. That's it. Financial institutions the world over are funding enough carbon-intensive projects and companies to guarantee not a 2-degree rise, not a 3-degree rise, but a 4-degree rise or above in global warming above pre-industrial levels. And this is with your money, not theirs. What the banks must do instead is they must proactively and transparently and honestly, emphasis on honestly, measure and disclose climate risk to their assets. They've got to start there. They have to price, measure, disclose climate risk. Then they need to also measure and disclose their climate impact and that of the clients that they back on the planet. Of course, they then should set targets to phase out this climate impact. Why? Climate change is not just an existential risk. It's a systemic financial risk. And what this means is that every major bank in the world faces the potential for dramatic losses from the failure of the companies that they are backing in the fossil fuel space. And by the way, it's not just the fossil fuel space. Obviously, the banks also face losses from the physical impacts of climate change. And their broader loan portfolios are also at risk because you've got sectors that rely on fossil fuels. And obviously, you're going to have issues there, whether it's agriculture, manufacturing, and transportation. And I'll give you a simple example. Airlines spend 25% to 50% of their money on fossil fuels. But what happens when they won't anymore? Has any bank credit department modeled the result? We already know that we're going to have many short-haul electric planes by 2030. And we already know that we're going to have long-haul electric planes by 2040. Obviously, an airline that can fly electric will fly electric because the saving in just what they need to buy in terms of fuels to fly the current type of planes is enormous. But the banks have no clue. Have they modeled that type of risk, which is really present across all sectors? They are not doing the work. They've taken your money and they have gambled it in a sector where they should know that they're going to lose a large proportion of it. And what's incredible is that they won't do anything about it, will they? And then people wonder why Bitcoin is now above $20,000. That's because of an enormous lack of trust in banks. And that's got to change. We need wholesale change in banks' approach to climate change and in their transparency. We also need them to align with the Paris Climate Agreement, and they know exactly what that means. No more expansion of fossil fuels, so no new oil, gas, or coal, and cutting emissions 50% by 2030. That's what it means to be aligned with the Paris Climate Agreement, dear banks. Now you need to get on with it. Thank you so much for listening to this episode 44 of the Angry Clean Energy Guy with me, Asad Razouk. As promised, I'll be back in a couple of weeks to bash insurance companies. And on that note, here is wishing you and your loved ones peace, health, and happiness in what I hope will eventually be a COVID-free 2021.